It's a special episode today. We've got two guests again.
It is. It's very exciting.
So, you know, I've got a long story to tell with quality content.
This is genuinely probably one of the highlights of my year. It's been a tough lockdown, but this was a gem. This was a gem.
So good. We've got two episodes out of it.
And, you know, that's the mark of quality.
And this one is going to be even better than the first.
I mean, the first is something to beat, the story of my smelly fingers.
Oh, no. I thought I'd got past that.
So for all the listeners who I hope are keenly listening along, we did an episode in the past with Sam about how we're all going for a little lad's holiday away to Gibraltar, and we stopped off in London and had a few little stinky shenanigans along the way. And on this episode, we're going to pick up where we left off from that last episode. And we've just landed in Gibraltar, we've escaped the Big Mama-like character, and we're free to cause carnage on the rock.
Of course, she's still waiting at home, but that's a different story.
Yeah, well, she's going to be waiting for a long time.
Has she texted you since?
She has, but I have not replied.
Like it. So we're going to call David and get him on, because he was part four.
Yep.
Of this.
The boy was late on the holiday, and he's late on an appearance on the podcast. How very fitting.
How very typical.
Let's ring the bastard up.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Evening. Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah. Not too bad. Had a few drinks all day, so it's been good.
Smashed. I like it.
I just want to bring this up on the episode because I'm like, bewildered by the conduct of people at David's work. You got called in over the Christmas period to do some work, and you arrive, and there's like 400 bottles of beer. Like, hey, you thought you were going to come and do some work, but we're going to party.
Yeah, my email at work said, oh, don't worry, we'll stay behind for a few beers. So I thought, okay, you know, I'll take the car, see what happens. End up turning up, and I can just see boxes and boxes of Corona just everywhere, all near the fridges. And I'm just like, interesting. Go down at 12 o'clock, get given beer, and then from then on we're drinking all afternoon while still working. And then, 5 o'clock hits and I go down and there's already about 20 other people completely smashed, just not social distancing, just having a fucking mad session. I was just like, wow.
I'd love to see like the quality of everyone's work in the office just deteriorating as the more beers go in throughout the day.
Well, our boss had to keep saying, make sure there's no drunk payments going out. But, you know, it is what it is. But it was a fun day, to be fair. Maybe not the most sensible for my work, but it's on them, not me.
To be honest, I think that sentence in itself sums up our entire holiday in Gibraltar, which is what we called you up to talk about. Like, probably wasn't a smart thing to do, but wow, it was fun.
But if you're going to commit to the shenanigans, you've got to take it wild and you've got to go low.
Yeah, definitely. So you've already kicked off on your eventful Friday night back in the UK, haven't you?
Yeah, we've done an episode about our how would I describe our dealings with this big mama character?
Regrettable.
Well, some people
it's a regular.
I'd say fragrant. Very fragrant
is definitely not the word.
Yeah, to be honest, I think that's how Saturday started off, Sean. We were about 20 seconds after I met you guys, and you just put your fingers to my nose, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
I actually remember this because we just landed and we'd gotten out of the airport, and you came to meet us because obviously you were in Gibraltar already. And you was like saying hello to Keelan, and I just woke up. Guess what I did last night? But the mad thing is, us three all know how revolting the smell was. But you weren't even fazed by it. You just gave it a big whiff. And you were okay.
To be honest, Sean, nothing you do surprises me anymore. So
those are just the smells you've come to expect from me.
Someone out there before. David recognised that smell from somewhere.
Brilliant.
Not to be unmatched. We managed to step it up in Gibraltar, didn't we, on Saturday night?
Definitely.
We had a day doing all the standard touristy shit, and then we quickly realised this place didn't have much to offer. So we are going to turn this place into a debauch central.
I love how that's our first instinct. Like, we land without any genuine sleep, stinking like Big Mama's pussy juices and stale alcohol. And we get there and like, well, we may as well stay awake and do all the touristy shit. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes in, we're like, it's fuck all to do here.
Drink.
No lessons learned. No morals.
We were honestly, we were back at the hotel by like 4 o'clock playing drinking games. We were done with Gibraltar. We'd done everything that it had to offer in about 3 hours.
And to be honest, that probably took longer just because we were such like drunken zombies dragging ourselves around town.
We did tell the tourist guide thingy that we had cash. So to the top of the fucking mountain, realised we didn't have enough cash and had to go all the way back down and back up.
Yeah, he was not a happy monkey.
And he wasn't a happy monkey. He somehow blamed me. I was the only one with money. But apparently it was all my fault.
You are a prick, so that makes sense.
Probably threw your third with ourselves.
Well, to be fair, us three were in such horrific states. David was the only sober one, so naturally the guy just assumed that he was our carer.
Yeah, he definitely saw me as some sort of sensible one, did he, among you lot? Probably got a whiff of your fingers, Sean.
I mean, to be fair, I don't see how we couldn't. Everyone in Gibraltar probably got a whiff of those fingers. But I want to talk about specifically what happened on that big night out when we decided we've had enough of Gibraltar already. We've completed it. We've seen it all. Let's get fucked up. And I remember we rocked up to a cocktail bar on the marina that you scouted the night before, right, David?
Yeah, because I was there the night before, just looked for some places, and I was like, yep, cocktails by the sea. That's exactly what we want.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do. So we rock up to this cocktail bar, and things just get even more exciting from our first encounter with the waiter.
Absolutely. I mean, he's straight on with the offers, and this is a dark path that he's leading us down, but we're going to be straight on it.
It was brilliant because we turned up and we were looking at the menu for all these cocktails, trying to decide what we wanted. And the guy just came up to us and said, okay, guys, here are the rules. You order 2 cocktails, I give you 4. You order 4 cocktails, I bring you 6. You see how this works?
So we're straight on it and we're like, yeah, we'll take 8 or 10.
I remember David said, so how many cocktails will you bring if we order 100? Like, what kind of establishment are you running? He's clearly taken one look at the state of us. I'm like, these guys are here to party. I give you all of the cocktail. But I'm pretty sure he very quickly learned to regret that decision of giving us additional cocktails.
Yeah, the second we looked at those prices of the cocktails, we were just like, oh, yes, we'll take that deal. Don't worry, mate.
At least we were smart enough to cover our backs. When he asked for our names for the COVID protocols, we all gave Edward Teach or something. Oh,
yeah. I love this. This was so smartly done because all the COVID regulations now, you have to write down your name on everywhere you go. We aren't going to give our real names because we know what kind of shit we're going to get up to tonight.
Yeah, we're on it.
But we very quickly decided that we were going to go with a pirate theme for tonight, hence the introduction song. So we all wrote down the names of very famous pirates and nobody noticed.
I think the worst part about it was the fact that we were pirate all night. How did none of us manage to commandeer a boat? It's quite bad.
What are you on about? I didn't commandeer it. I broke into it.
Yeah, that's true. You did pillage a boat, to be fair.
I pillaged the boat, which I'm taking that. That's 50% piracy.
See, I don't want to get into that, but I don't want to skip over Sam's story.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
There was
what could only be described as a great Free Willy reenactment.
We really should have taken the boat before Sam decided to get in the sea. It might have been more beneficial.
Okay, let's talk about when Sam decided to get into the sea. So what was going through your... In fact, Sam, you walk us through from your memory what actually happened.
Can you remember my famous words? If I didn't do it, I wouldn't have done it. And we were sat right next to it. And I'm like, why not? It's just a fucking sea. And then she was like, hey, you'll be fine. You don't need the sea plan. Just jump in the fucking water. I was like,
because let's bear in mind, this ball was on the marina. And the docks were very high. We knew that if you were jumping in that water, you weren't getting out of it. So, Sean, what's my exit strategy? I just looked at you and I went, drowning. And you went, yeah, all right.
I'm just interested in why you were mentioning it every 5 minutes. It was just We were all having a normal conversation, and you just jump in like, I need to jump in that water.
I think I was just at the level of drunkenness where I just thought it would be amazing.
You were like weirdly obsessed, but were like non-committal for jumping in the sea. Like it was this big event, which really is not.
It was good, and then it happened, and I tried to get out, and I've still got scars.
Oh no, come on, you've got to give us more detail than that, Sam. Walk us through step by step what happened for your decision-making process to jump in the sea and potentially kill yourself.
I think it was just fuck it.
Yeah, but I'm sure when he did it, we'd moved on in the conversation past it. So he just stood up from the table, stripped naked, naked, and then just dived in. And
my favourite part about this was it was quite a busy bar, and we were talking to these people, and out of the blue, Sam was just not talking to anyone, gone quite quiet, out of the blue, with no hints or anything, stood up, took off all of his clothes. Everyone in the bar turned around like, what the fuck is happening right now? And they started climbing up the railing, and all the waiters were running like, no, don't do that, you will die, no, don't you jump. And you swear, fuck it.
Well, I thought my favourite part about all of that was, as soon as you did jump in, none of them gave a shit about like your safety or anything. They all just ran over to me with the bill, just charging me, and I'm just like, there's a guy potentially drowning outside your bar, and you're worried about fucking 60 quid or whatever it was.
I'd love to think if what they thought was happening is we'd spent so much money on these potentially free cocktails that we were all trying to make a dash from the bar to not pay the bill, but the only way we could do that was by swimming back to England. We're all going to jump in the sea one by one and swim away.
Nah, they definitely seen that we were all pirates at that point and knew that we were going to try and steal a boat from somewhere.
To be fair, we had mentioned it all through the night that we could make it to Morocco if we tried.
Yeah, that's very true.
I love how much thought that we put into our ability to take a boat and make it to Morocco. Some weird obsession of ours.
I'm glad that you never got a text back, because it was the advert on the site, wasn't there?
I remember we were walking down the street and there was a poster of this guy who owns a yacht, and he was trying to hire for a crew. So obviously I was like, I'm down for being a pirate. Mm-hmm. So I texted him, didn't I? I remember his name was Premazek,
that's it.
He was a Polish pirate, and I texted him to try and convince him.
It was before we started the cocktail.
Yeah.
He was the one that inspired the pirate theme of the holiday, I'm sure he was.
He was indeed. In fact,
Yeah, he was.
You boys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to grab my phone and see the message that I sent to him, because I remember it was hilarious.
It was about religion funding. I remember that.
Well, I think we need to hear more about Sam's exit from the water, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, when he got out, that was a big part. I mean, his legs covered in blood, and he had the police try to, like, cajole him out of the water.
Like, I couldn't get out, and then Sean came in and tried to pull me out, fucked up all my legs. I've still got scars on my legs from coming out, and then I go up the fucking ladders. And just got harassed by the being half naked.
I can't believe
it's not against the law.
I can't believe what happened when the police came. Like, all these people phoned the police. Like, did you imagine that conversation? Like, 999, hello, what's your emergency? How can we help? A boy jumped in the sea. What? That's not a crime. But apparently in Gibraltar it is.
Because it's such a shithole, there's nothing else going on. It was like emergency straight on the scene.
That was the most excitement they've had in a long time, was a drunkard jumping in the sea.
But I heard you sassed them, Sam.
I didn't do anything illegal, so they couldn't arrest me. Just stood there naked, well, half naked.
Do you remember the conversation you had with the police officer when you got out of the sea and were just stood there in your boxers dripping wet?
I don't remember a lot of things.
Well, fortunately for us, I remember the conversation, because I was nice and dry, and I ran over to Sam after he'd been rescued from the water, his watery abyss, which was going to happen because he couldn't get out himself. He was rescued, brought to the side, and the police were obviously giving him a once-over, and like, he was being a bit of a prick to you, to be honest. He was like, do you really think that's a fucking smart thing to do? Jumping in the sea like that? Anything could have happened to you. And you just went, yeah, but it was funny. And he's like, I have a right mind to bring you down to the station. And you just looked at him and went, have I committed a crime? And he goes, well, no, not really, but it was still a stupid thing to do. And you just went, well, fuck off and leave me alone then. And I've never seen a policeman get so demoralised so quickly. You had the gall to not only strip off in this bar, ruin everybody's nights, attempt escape by swimming to Morocco, to nearly dying to needing rescue, and then when the police came, presumably to save your life, you sassed them.
I love the mix of the audience as well. You had the group of Chinese that were absolutely disgraced by what they were seeing. You had Gay Simon with his little chihuahua going, "Escándalo."
I remember Gay Simon with his fucking little dog.
And then you've got the Spanish bar staff running around trying to get the £60.
I completely forgot about that, actually. Half the time that Sam was spent in the sea and Sean went to help out, and I think Keelan was there as well, I could see in the distance you were talking to the police, but I didn't follow you. And I just sat and started playing drinking games with randoms at a different table. And then you guys came and joined us and started giving Keelan shots.
I was that's a ridiculous game where basically I was the winner every time and I just got a shot. I loved it.
Yeah.
I want to play it again sometime. But no, not to be outdone, that didn't stop us from there. We carried on, quickly ejected from the bar.
We went back into the bar after I got dressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we were there for a while.
Oh, yeah, of course we did, yeah, yeah.
They've just been so angry at us. But, oh, no, he's now dry. Let's go back into the bar. It's fine.
We were so clearly evicted from the bar for our attempt to swim away to freedom. So they were saying that we were banned for life, and then 10 minutes later, as soon as the clothes back on, we just walked straight back in, like they didn't recognise us.
We have got one more cocktail. They're like, "Yeah, all right."
Oh God. I think after they saw Sam sat out the policeman, they were just like, "Well, if they're too hardcore for the police, we can't do anything about it. We're just gonna have to, you know, the bar's yours. Take it over, boys."
Oh, that's a great moment. But then from there, we did go on and meet this other group of people, didn't we?
I almost got in a fight with that one guy. And then we ended up separating. I can't remember anything after that.
I remember what happened because the bar shut down early because of the shenanigans involving Sam in the sea. Freeing Willy on that occasion wasn't a great moment for Disney. So they were shutting down the bar. So we're all cast out onto the street. So at which case, this is where the piracy comes into play because we just finished all of our cocktails and we didn't want to stop drinking because we all knew like we've been drinking nonstop for 2 days with no sleep now. If we stop drinking, my God, the crash is going to be horrific. And none of us are ready for that.
Well, I loved it. It was the COVID protocol, so everybody shut early as well. But you thought, I'm not going to let this stop me. And didn't you try breaking into the casino to get more beer?
I did try to break into the casino, but the security guards were very quickly onto me.
So you thought plan B, boat.
I snuck through like the fire exit and ran into the casino. I don't know where I was running towards. It was closed. Presumably to like steal a handful of cash from the roulette table or at least a bottle of vodka from the bar. But the security guards chased me down and like dragged me back out. So naturally, when Sean comes to defeat, he doesn't think, that's it, I'm going to stop trying. It just encourages me to get more creative. And I look at the other side of the road. It's not a road, it's the sea. Mm-hmm. The same sea where poor Sam was flailing around nearly dying. And I catch on the dock. There's a yacht over there. Very, very rich people own yachts. I bet they've got some fancy alcohol in there. Then that's it. That's my descent into piracy. That's all I needed. The little glimmer of hope that there might be alcohol on board. So I ran down the dock. But it was quite far away from the dock. I had to, like, not fully swim to it, but I had to like jump in and like shuffle myself along in the water. And then boarded the vessel and I proceeded to pillage. Foolishly, these rich people don't lock their yachts because who would expect to find an English pirate in the midst of Gibraltar? Because we all know that Premazek is sailing off to the Canary Islands with all the.
He's gone now. There's only one left.
Premazek has fucked off. There's only one pirate left in town and it was me. And I went onto this yacht and I was on, I remember, what's it called? The deck. I was on the deck. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anything very interesting. But there'd clearly been a party because there's a lot of mess around. So I break... Well, I want to say this without sounding too criminal, but I'm already a pirate at this point, so fuck it. The door was locked, but it was one of those like sliding doors, you know, like you have in your back garden.
Yeah.
So I very quickly just kicked off the handle of the door and slid it open. It was locked, but that's not going to stop me. And I go inside and there is a very expensive fancy bottle of champagne. So obviously I'm having that. At which point I pick it up out of the bucket and a woman comes up the stairs from the lower deck, obviously hearing the commotion of this drunkard breaking onto her boat and just looks at me. And it's like, you know, that moment when you're driving at night and you just catch like a deer or an antelope in the headlights and they just pause and look at you and they don't move. It was exactly like that.
Yeah.
This poor woman was woken up late at night, came up the stairs to see what the commotion was, and she's just seen this disgusting figure of this creepy bald man breaking into her boat and pillaging her stocks of champagne. And she just paused there in fear, at which point I just maintained eye contact the whole time and just slowly backed out.
I always didn't say a word if we made it onto the Gibraltar move.
I'm pretty sure we
missed that.
It was such a mental night. So many things happened.
I mean, in one night, we literally got banned and broke back into the bar. You nearly drowned. I went and became a pirate, robbing this poor lady's fancy champagne. And we haven't even got onto the rest of the stuff yet.
We abused the police.
We abused the police. Not
when
the
police came up to us to confiscate the wine, and you said you couldn't bring it on.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, Keelan. So, in the story, Sean has just pillaged the champagne from this yacht, and I've just made it back to land safely without this sailor woman accosting me. And we get back. Keelan's looking a bit hammered. I feel like Keelan's a top-up. So I give Keelan a glass of the champagne, and he's drinking it on the street whilst all of us are here talking to these random people we found in the bar. At which point, I'm assuming the woman on the boat has called the police, because they turn up again, and they've come up to us on the street. And that's when you had an issue with the police, right, Keelan?
Yeah, because they told me this ridiculous thing that you're not allowed to drink on the streets. And I thought, I'm not having that. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish the drink. So I did. And then that's when...
That's not what happened.
I'm sure that's... I don't know.
The policeman came up to us on the street and noticed that you were drinking the champagne. And he said, it's illegal to drink on the street. I need you to stop that right now.
Yeah.
At which point, you kind of just paused, unsure what's going on.
I've got to wear
me and Sam just looked at each other. We sort of going... Oh, we like to drink with Keelan because Keelan is a mate.
So you had these police officers like trying to control like 10 of us all chanting me to drink.
So but I love the fact,
it's 10v2.
I love the fact that there's 10 people on the street singing this chanting song to get you to drink. And the policeman's there like, no, stop singing that. No, don't encourage him. Please, guys, stop. No, please, guys, come on. Guys, please. Please, come on, guys. Like these policemen were just so easily broken down by a chant. We got
then
to the
not
stage.
Just that, I finished the drink and then you shout crystal nuts, get all the glasses, smash them on the floor, and the policeman just thinks, fuck it, I can't deal with this. They've broken me.
I love how it went from a simple case of telling a drunk to stop drinking on the street to the police getting bullied out of doing their job to giving up, and they sort of begging for, please guys, please just let me do my job. To which case you down all the champagne and we just smash it in the most aggressive like way. Just not respecting their authority at all.
Yeah.
But we bullied them so much they just kind of gave up and walked off.
We could have taken the whole island. We just disobeyed their authority twice. We got away with it completely.
I think that's what's so good, though. We didn't just disobey their authority. So we downright bullied them out of doing their job so much. They were so demoralized. They just didn't want to do their job and they gave up. And I'm going to throw it out there. I think we could have conquered Gibraltar that night. We made short work of the police force.
It's a very worrying thought that if a real crime had happened that we we were not safe.
All it took was for us to chant and to ignore them. And this guy to basically break down and beg for us to stop bullying him.
They openly told us something was illegal. We did it in front of them and they walked off.
There were no consequences.
Oh, he's stabbing him, he's stabbing him.
We literally did multiple crimes that night in full view of the police and nothing happened other than we made them cry.
And all this because we couldn't wait to get home for the vodka that we had in the room. We needed it to drink then.
Glorious. Oh, simply glorious.
Great times. And that was just the Saturday night.
And I think that's the true mark of a great pirate. To not only be a pirate and jump in the sea, risking his own life, pillaging yachts, but also when the police or the Royal Navy come up to us to confront us for our piracy, we have no respect at all and we do it anyway because that's what pirates do.
I love that we turned up into this absolute shithole with nothing to do, full of old people, and we think, you know what, we're going to drag this down to our level. Straight away we're famous, we're infamous for it.
We walked in like, there's not a lot of shit here to do, is there? Let's be pirates.
I'm just glad you never heard from Premazek.
I wonder what happened to his great voyage.
Maybe one day we'll get a text back from him.
No, I'm pretty sure we're banned from Gibraltar now.
I kind of want to go back just to say fuck it and just go mental, go and have a little mini search again.
It would be pretty entertaining because I remember when we were leaving Gibraltar, we were causing quite a lot of shenanigans.
See if we can get banned.
We very nearly did when we illegally crossed the border into Spain twice.
all for a McDonald's.
It wasn't even a fucking
We literally became international smugglers across a border to go and get a McDonald's. Broke international law for the sake of a Big Mac. And then the McDonald's was closed, so we had to break back into Gibraltar.
No, the best thing is when you were crossing the border or trying to get across the border, and the border guard was like, "Where do you think you're going?"
Oh, where do you think
I'm going? Do you remember how sassy I was to him?
Yeah.
We'd already broken into Spain and been disappointed at the Spanish McDonald's, so I had to break back into Gibraltar so that we could fly home. And he saw me illegally crossing the border, so he ran over to stop me. He's like, "Where do you think you're going? What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not going back to fucking Spain, am I? Use your head." I can't believe we were so disrespectful to the police.
I can't believe we got away with it.
And the best bit was, we went home on the plane back in the same state that we arrived. Just absolutely degenerate.
But one of my favourite things about the holiday is when we got back home, and obviously we're all dishevelled and ruined, and our hangovers had finally dissipated. And then Keelan gets a few random texts from the woman whose Airbnb we were staying in, because the drama from this holiday was not over yet.
Oh, because of the things we'd done the night before. I nearly forgot about that. But who was it that stole the doormats? Because I had no prior knowledge of this. I just got a very
guilty
email.
Guilty as charged.
I got an email from the owner saying you've got a bad reputation on the Gibraltar Facebook accommodation page or something, that you stole all the doormats in the place.
I mean, you stole a bike. You stole the guy's bike. Do you remember?
I might have stole the bike. I don't know.
We're the weirdest pirates in the world.
There was a lot of pillaging going on.
We stole champagne, a bike, and 26 doormats.
And we had fun with a cockroach that was living there as well. I don't know if we stole that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about what I did with the cockroach.
Do you remember abusing the cleaning lady that never happened on that Sunday night as well?
Yeah, this had an email where we apparently abused Consuela.
So on this email, obviously, this woman was talking about the stolen doormats and the cockroach that we forgot had even happened, and then accused us of abusing the cleaning lady. And none of us can remember it. I think we've been unfairly labelled as doing this crime, but we were so drunk we could well have done it and just forgotten about it.
I reckon it might have been the random woman that ended up in our flat the night before that we had no idea where she came from or where she went.
Do you remember when she came back to the flat with us expecting to have sex with at least one of us?
Yeah.
And we all just passed out. That poor woman was sat there alone in the seedy Gibraltar flat when three guys passed out. Well, what now?
No, I think she got back to the flat, turned the lights on, and just screamed in horror and ran out.
So how much, this email that you got when we got back home, Keaton, how much were the fines?
We got a fine half of the deposit, wasn't it? It was like about 100 something. I can't remember.
Yeah. And then I remember I got fined 3 times for the hotel in London.
Yeah, we just got back on the bus back. We were getting fines left, right and centre pinging through to us.
So on this holiday, we've gone to London, created absolute chaos there.
To be fair, the hostel one was fair enough because it was a tip.
We destroyed the place.
Yeah,
and frankly, after that pussy juice smell, that building needed to be fumigated. And we made it to Gibraltar with the intention of just having a nice, wholesome holiday. I end up becoming a pirate. Keelan abuses the police. Sam nearly drowns. And then we get fined hundreds and hundreds of pounds for abusing an imaginary cleaner that we don't even know exists or not.
I can't even say the intention was a nice wholesome holiday. We knew that was never going to happen.
yeah, I should have known what we're about. So the moral of the story is, I think we're just idiots. I think we're just liabilities. Everywhere we go is chaos.
If I'm honest as well, anyone who wasn't there is not going to understand the gravity of the situation.
A great pun that's going to go over people's head.
A great pun.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I think that sums up our little trip to Gibraltar. Piracy, terrible jokes, drowning, and just criminality throughout. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
What the fuck is this?